This article is brought to you by the best-selling book Say It Right Every Time, The Black Book of Eamon Blackthorne. Because the right words, at the right moment, change everything. Why increasing self-awareness sometimes triggers an identity crisis. When looking inward honestly, what you find can unsettle everything you thought you knew. In short, increasing self-awareness is one of the most valuable things you can do. It is also one of the most destabilizing. When the gap between who you thought you were and how you actually behave becomes visible, something has to give. That something is often your sense of identity. The crisis is not a sign the process has gone wrong. It is a sign it has started working. The warning signs are subtle, and most people misread them as stress or burnout. Naming what is happening is the first step to moving through it without abandoning the growth. Definition: increasing self-awareness is the ongoing practice of observing your own thoughts, emotions, and behaviors honestly, so that the gap between your self-concept and your actual impact on others becomes clear and actionable. When the mirror stops being friendly. I have watched people begin a genuine self-awareness practice and quietly fall apart within 3 months. Not because they were doing it wrong, because they were doing it right. A man I worked with years ago spent 2 decades proud of being the straight-talking one on his team. Direct. No nonsense. He started paying closer attention to how people responded to him in meetings. What he found was not the confident communicator he had pictured. He found someone who regularly cut people off, dismissed quieter voices, and called it efficiency. The gap between those two images was not small, and increasing self-awareness had ripped it open. That kind of discovery is not comfortable. It challenges the story you've told about yourself, often for years. And when that story starts to crack, the response can look like a crisis, because it is one. The question is not whether it will happen. The question is whether you will recognize it when it does. Why the warning signs look like something else. Self-awareness problems are sneaky. They really announce themselves as such. The signs of an identity crisis triggered by self-reflection tend to disguise themselves as simpler problems: tiredness, stress, a rough patch at work, a strained relationship. Because the source is internal, most people look outward for the cause and find plausible explanations there. That search delays recognition by months. There is also the timing problem. The distress does not arrive while you are reflecting. It arrives hours or days later, in the form of irritability, avoidance, or a sudden reluctance to engage with people who know you well. Without connecting those reactions to that earlier self-examination, you can carry the damage a long way before you name it. 6 signs that self-awareness has tipped into destabilization. 1. You have become hypercritical of your own past behavior. What it looks like: you replay old conversations, old decisions, old ways of leading or parenting or working, and each replay adds a new layer of judgment. The review never ends and never produces a conclusion. Why it happens: once you start seeing your patterns clearly, your brain begins retroactively applying that clarity to every memory it can reach. This is not useful reflection. It is an overwhelmed self-concept struggling to absorb too much revision at once. Why it matters: unchecked, this loop produces paralysis. You become afraid to act because any action might later be judged as harshly as the ones you are reviewing now. What to do? Set a deliberate boundary on retrospective review. 1 reflection per day, written down, followed by 1 forward-facing intention. The past is the diagnosis. The intention is the treatment. You need both, but in that order. Here is the truth of its self-examination that loops backward without ever moving forward is not self-awareness. It is self-punishment dressed up as growth. 2. You start avoiding the people who knew you before. What it looks like: you find reasons not to see family, long-standing colleagues, or old friends. The contact feels heavy. You are vaguely dreading being seen as who you used to be. Why it happens: those people carry a mirror of your old self. Their presence activates the gap between the self-concept you are revising and the one they still hold of you. The discomfort is real, and it is specific. You are not sure which version of yourself to present because you are not sure which one is true. Why it matters: the avoidance cuts you off from exactly the relationships that can ground you through a difficult transition. Isolation compounds the crisis. What to do? Choose 1 trusted person from that circle and tell them, plainly, that you are in the middle of trying to understand yourself better, and it is stranger than you expected. You do not need to explain everything. You just need to stop disappearing. Pulling away from the people who know us is one of the quieter signs that something has gone wrong with the process. 3. You've stopped trusting your own reactions. What it looks like, you second-guess what you feel in real time. Someone says something and before you respond, you run an internal audit. Is this the old me reacting? Am I being defensive? Is this genuine or just a pattern? You cannot tell, so you say nothing, or say something flat and careful that does not represent you. Why it happens? Increasing self-awareness teaches you to question your automatic reactions, which is correct. But if the questioning becomes constant, it dismantles your ability to respond naturally to anything. You have disrupted your old autopilot without yet building a new one. Why it matters? Over time, this produces a kind of communicative paralysis. People around you notice you have become distant or guarded. When the amygdala hijack problem is active in your team, the last thing you need is a leader who has stopped trusting their own instincts. What to do? Separate observation from intervention. You do not have to analyze every reaction as it happens. Practice noticing without immediately judging. After the interaction, not during it, ask yourself what was driving you. There is a difference between awareness and interference. You are looking for the first. The second just gets in the way. 4. Your sense of competence has collapsed in areas where it was solid. What it looks like, you are confident giving feedback, leading meetings, or handling conflict. Now, knowing more about your own patterns, you approach those same situations with real hesitation. The competence feels borrowed or false. Why it happens? This one surprises most people, and it is worth sitting with. Before you had self-awareness, your confidence rested on an unchallenged self-image. Now that image is under revision, the confidence that relied on it wobbles too. This is not regression. It is what happens when the confidence-competence loop gets interrupted mid-cycle. Why it matters? If you do not understand what is driving the wobble, you will interpret it as evidence that your self-awareness was correct, that you were never as good as you thought. That conclusion damages far more than your competence. What to do? Name the distinction clearly. Your skill is not what changed. Your self-concept is what changed. The skill is still there. Trust your preparation more than you trust your feelings about yourself right now. After decades of getting this wrong, I have learned that the wobble is temporary. What you built is not gone. It just needs a new foundation. 5. You have become unusually sensitive to how others perceive you. What it looks like, you are scanning rooms, conversations, and messages for signals about how people see you. A short reply feels like a verdict. A missed greeting feels like evidence. You are drawing large conclusions from small details. Why it happens? When your internal self-image is unstable, you outsource your self-concept to the responses of others. You are looking for external confirmation of which version of yourself is real. This is cognitively exhausting and produces a distorted read of most situations. Why it matters? This hypersensitivity damages your ability to give honest feedback and to receive it. Some leaders never develop a stronger voice precisely because they cannot tolerate the uncertainty of how they land with others. What to do? Identify 2 or 3 data points you actually trust: the opinion of one person whose judgment you respect, your own actions over time, and the outcomes you can observe. Anchor your self-assessment to those, not to ambient social signals. 6. You've begun using self-awareness as a reason to hold back. What it looks like? You know you used to be too blunt in meetings. So now, you say nothing when something needs to be said. You know you used to dominate conversations. So now you withdraw completely. You are using your new self-knowledge as justification for inaction. Why it happens? This is the counterintuitive one. Self-awareness, without an equivalent growth in self-compassion and courage, produces overcorrection. You swap one problem for its mirror image and call it growth. Why it matters? The people around you need you to engage, not to manage yourself into silence. Teams that are already managing high tension cannot afford a key voice that has disappeared into self-monitoring. What to do? Establish what you are moving toward, not just what you are moving away from. I'm working on being more considered needs a positive form. I will speak once, clearly, and then listen. That is a direction. Avoidance is not. Knowing your flaws does not entitle you to stop showing up. It means you show up more honestly. The root beneath all of it. These signs are different in form. The root is the same. When you begin increasing self-awareness, you're essentially auditing the story you have told yourself about who you are. That story is not decoration. It is structural. It holds together how you make decisions, how you build relationships, and how you handle pressure. When the audit reveals significant discrepancies, the structure experiences real strain. The identity crisis is not a malfunction. It is the cost of replacing something load-bearing while the building is still occupied. The question is whether you can hold yourself steady while the work is in progress. Understanding how the confidence-competence loop operates helps you. Growth consistently involves a phase of competence outpacing the confidence to use it. The same is true of self-knowledge. A quick note before we continue. Most people leave the hardest conversations for last and regret the words they used when they finally had them. The best-selling books they write every time gives you 115 tested scripts for those exact moments, the ones that shape careers, relationships, and how people remember you. Get your copy at emonblackthorne.com. Now, back to the article. A simple diagnostic for right now. Read each statement. Answer honestly with yes or no. I have been replaying old memories and judging past behavior more harshly than before. I have been avoiding people who knew me well before I started paying closer attention to myself. I second-guess my own reactions in real time during conversations. I feel less confident in areas where I was previously capable and steady. I am more preoccupied with how others perceive me than I was 6 months ago. I am holding back in situations where I know engagement is needed. I feel a vague but persistent sense that I do not know who I am right now. Scoring 0 to 2 yes answers. You are experiencing normal friction. The process is working without destabilizing you. Stay the course. 3 to 4 yes answers. You are in early destabilization. The signs are there. Name them to someone you trust and slow the pace of your self-examination slightly. 5 to 7 yes answers. Process has tipped over. You need to ground yourself before continuing. This is not a reason to stop. It is a reason to change how you are working. Your first move forward. If this has landed with recognition, start with one specific action in the next 48 hours. Write down, in plain language, the three values you want to be driving your behavior. Not the values you think you have always had. The ones you are choosing now, knowing what you know. This matters because you are not trying to preserve the old self-concept. You're building a new one, piece by piece, on ground that you have actually tested. From there, the work is incremental. Understanding how managers and leaders use the confidence-competence loop to navigate difficult transitions will give you a practical frame for what comes next. So will this closer look at how that same loop shapes leadership voice development. You do not need to resolve the crisis to move forward. You need to be steady enough to take the next step. Frequently asked questions. Why does increasing self-awareness cause an identity crisis? When you begin to see your own patterns clearly, the gap between who you thought you were and how you actually behave can be jarring. That gap creates psychological friction. The crisis is not a sign that something is wrong. It means your self-awareness is working. What are the signs that self-awareness is triggering an identity crisis? Watch for sudden irritability after reflection, withdrawing from people who know you well, feeling fraudulent in roles you previously owned with confidence, compulsive self-criticism leads nowhere, and a creeping inability to make simple decisions about your own behavior. Is an identity crisis a normal part of increasing self-awareness? Yes, when honest self-reflection begins to work, it often disrupts the story you've told about yourself for years. Discomfort is not a sign of failure. It means the old self-concept is loosening, which is exactly what needs to happen before a more accurate one can form. How long does an identity crisis from self-awareness last? It varies. For most people, the acute destabilization lasts weeks to a few months, depending on how deeply held the original self-image was. The period shortens considerably when you name what is happening, keep one trusted person in the conversation, and take small grounded actions. How do you continue growing self-awareness without losing your sense of self? Anchor your values separately from your behaviors. You can discover that you have been behaving poorly without concluding that you are a poor person. Keep one or two stable relationships where you can speak honestly. Let the process be gradual. Self-awareness grows in layers, not all at once. Can too much self-awareness be harmful? Constant inward scrutiny without action or grounding can tip into rumination, which is the opposite of useful self-awareness. The goal is clarity that leads to different choices, not an endless loop of self-examination that produces paralysis and chronic self-doubt. Thank you for listening. If this article helped, The best-selling book Say It Right Every Time will take you the rest of the way. 115 scripts ready to use whenever you need them. Visit emonblackthorne.com to get your copy.